Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to cut through the noise, find those key insights, and really make complex ideas clear for you. Today, we're diving into something I think is, well, genuinely going to reshape how we think about online visibility. It's called Query and Entity Attribution for Generative Engine Optimization, or GEO. We're digging into a really critical chapter from the AI search manual, and honestly, it feels like a whole new frontier for how content actually gets found. Our mission really is to pull back the curtain on how AI search truly works behind the scenes, make that invisible process a bit more visible for you, help you grasp the huge shift away from, traditional SEO thinking, and give you the knowledge to, thrive in this new landscape.
Exactly. And what's so fundamental, so core here, is that the way generative AI search surfaces information, it completely redefines what actually drives visibility. We're talking light years beyond just simple keyword matching. This isn't just about reacting to today's AI models either. It's about giving you a perspective that looks forward, something actionable, so you can align your content with how AI search actually finds, processes, and selects information. It's a whole different game.
Okay, let's unpack this then. Because for years, right, traditional SEO attribution felt, pretty straightforward. You type a keyword, you see results, click one, maybe convert. It felt like this clean line, user query to content. We had analytics showing that path. But you're saying AI search completely breaks that model, fundamentally changes it.
It absolutely does. That direct kind of linear connection we all got used to, it's fundamentally altered the query a user types in. Think of that as just the initial spark. What happens next is the actual process that builds the answer you see. That's all happening behind the curtain. And it's rarely, if ever, a simple one-to-one match to what the user typed. What we don't see is this elaborate internal scaffolding. We're talking about a fan-out of synthetic queries. These are like the AI's own internal questions, often rephrased, expanded, that it asks itself to build a really comprehensive answer. And alongside that, it's doing multiple entity lookups, connecting concepts, running through complex ranking layers, all working together to pick the sources for that final response. It's an incredibly intricate hidden dance.
Right, okay. So if this whole dance is invisible and complex, why is understanding it so critical? Can't we just treat it as a black box?
It's critical precisely because GEO, generative engine optimization, it lives and dies in that invisible space. If you can't map what's happening in there, you're basically optimizing blind. You're just guessing. So this deep dive, it's really about pulling back that curtain, understanding the process so you can align your content strategy with how AI search actually finds and picks information. It's about influencing the system, not just reacting to it.
That makes a lot of sense. Okay, let's try to make this really concrete. An example. Say a user types in something common, like best laptops for video editing 2025. Seems simple enough on the surface. What happens after that initial spark?
Yeah, on the surface, it looks straightforward. But internally, Google's system, and this is detailed in their own patents, it meticulously decomposes that query, breaks it down into core semantic parts. It might see the entity laptop computers, the attribute video editing performance, a time-constrained 2025 models, and the modifier best, which signals, ranking or comparison intent. Okay, so from there, the AI's expansion model doesn't just look for those exact words. It generates this whole fan-out of variation synthetic subqueries to cover all the angles of that user's intent. Think about all the ways you could ask for that info. The AI might internally generate queries like 4K video editing laptop benchmarks 2025, or best laptops for Adobe Premiere Pro 2025. You could even look for things like laptop render speed DaVinci Resolve or top CPU for laptop video editing 2025. Maybe even color grading monitor accuracy laptop. It's trying to be thorough.
Wow. Okay. So it's not just one search being processed. It's like a whole orchestra of mini searches happening simultaneously almost.
Exactly. And it's really important to get this. These different subqueries, they aren't all hitting the same place. Some might query the main web index. Others might pull from structured data, like the Knowledge Graph, Google big database of facts and entities. Others might check U2 transcripts or even product specs in Google Shopping. This whole process is the query fan-out, distributing that original intent across many different retrieval runs.
So if I'm understanding this right, the really big shift for GEO is we can't just focus on what the person types anymore. We have to anticipate the AI's own internal, almost thought process, like predicting its sub-questions. Is that the core idea for getting seen now?
That's precisely it. That's the heart of it for GEO. The main takeaway here is treat every typed query as just the surface, just the tip of the iceberg. Your optimization has to anticipate and really optimize for these synthetic subqueries the AI is going to generate. That means creating content that satisfies not just the words typed, the lexical query, but also its decomposed entity and intent variations. You're building for how the AI understands, not just how the user phrases it.
Okay, this is where it gets really interesting for me. You said we can't see these internal subqueries directly, but you also mentioned we can infer them. How do we actually do that? How do we peek behind that curtain, even just a little?
Right, we can't see them directly, but we can infer them through something called query perturbation testing. Mm-hmm. Think of it like being a detective, you know, systematically probing the system to see how it reacts. It's a controlled method. You subtly vary a base query, just one element at a time, and then you carefully watch the AI's output specifically, which sources it ends up citing. The method itself is pretty structured. You start with a base query. Let's stick with best laptops for video editing 2025. Then you systematically vary it. Maybe you replace attributes like fast rendering laptops or swap entities MacBook Pro video editing. Adjust time markers, 2025 becomes 2024, or use synonymous phrases, laptops for film editing. And for every single variation, you log, does an AI overview trigger? And if yes, which URLs get cited?
Okay, so it's like shining a light from lots of different angles and watching the shadows. What's the real significance of seeing the same URLs pop up again and again across these different tweaks?
That's exactly where the reconstruction starts happening. URLs that keep showing up across many variations. They're really strong candidates for being pulled in by a shared synthetic subquery. By mapping this URL overlap across, say, dozens of these variations, you start to piece together these clusters of latent intents. Each cluster likely represents a branch in that hidden fanout tree. It's like seeing those shadows on the cave wall and figuring out the shapes casting them. And when we talk about reverse engineering this fanout, it's not guesswork. It's about using a repeatable, controlled framework. This framework helps expose that latent query space behind the surface result we see. You start with high-value seed queries, ones important to your area. Then, for each seed, generate maybe 10 to 50 controlled variations. These variations need to be carefully crafted to isolate different potential intents. Maybe one focuses on price, another on brand, another on specific software compatibility, things like that. As you run each one, you'll log every AI overview trigger and all the citation URLs. That data dump is your raw retrieval footprint. Then comes the analysis. You compute the co-citation frequency.
Basically, how often do two specific URLs appear together across all those different query variations? This tells you which sources the AI seems to group together internally, maybe sees them as relevant or complementary for a specific angle. Finally, you plot this. Visualize it as a network graph. The nodes are the URLs, and the edges connecting them represent those co-citation relationships, maybe weighted by how often they appear together.
Right, and once you have that network graph visualized, what do those clusters actually tell you? What new insights emerge?
The clusters show you how the AI is actually segmenting the topic.
Yeah.
For our laptop example, you might see one cluster around content the AI uses for benchmark data subqueries.
Mm-hmm.
Another cluster might be about software compatibility, and maybe a third for best practices advice. These clusters are empirical signals. They show which pages the AI views as perhaps interchangeable or complementary for a particular subintent. And for GEO, this reveals two incredibly critical things. First, which specific content is currently winning exposure for each of those hidden subintents? And second, it clearly identifies the competitive citation neighborhood, that group of sources the AI trusts for that subtopic. Your content needs to either join that neighborhood or, ideally, dominate it to influence the AI's choices. It's a whole new view of the competitive landscape.
Okay, so co-citation analysis turns what looks like random AI citations into structured intel. It shows the themes the AI trusts and the specific neighborhoods to aim for. That is a massive actionable shift from just chasing keywords. Now, understanding these patterns after the fact, that's powerful, but how do we get ahead of the curve? How do we predict what the AI might do before it shows us?
Right, to get ahead, we need to move from just reacting and reverse engineering to actually simulating it proactively. You can start with existing keyword data from tools like SEMrush or Ahrefs that gives you a baseline approximation of human search behavior. Then you take your important seed queries and feed them into a large language model, an LLM. But you give it a very specific instruction, something like, generate every possible query a retrieval system might run to fully answer this initial question. Include low volume and even zero volume variants. The really cool part here is that the LLM will often generate queries you'd never find in standard keyword tools. These long-tail, often entity-linked variations. That's precisely the kind of synthetic query AI search itself generates internally. Once you have this expanded list, you run entity extraction on it using tools like Spacy or the Google NLP API. This adds that crucial entity dimension to your map. You see the concepts, not just the words. The final step is validation. Test these predicted queries in live search. If AI overviews trigger and cite your content, great, you've validated part of your prediction. If not,
you've just found a critical retrieval gap you need to fill. And this leads to a foundational truth that's emerging in GEO. Entities matter more than exact keywords.
Wow, that is a powerful statement, maybe even a bit controversial given how long we've all focused on keywords. Why? Why do entities suddenly take precedence over the words we've so carefully targeted?
It's because entities are how these AI search systems fundamentally structure knowledge. Think about it this way. Two queries can use completely different words, be lexically different, but resolve to the exact same underlying set of entities. If that happens, they'll often hit the same retrieval pathway inside the AI system. The words might change, but the core concept the AI is trying to understand stays the same. The AI gets the things, not just the strings of text. Let me give you a clear example. Consider hiking permits for Angel's Landing versus trail restrictions in Zion National Park. Mm-hmm. The phrasing is quite different, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, completely different words.
But both queries clearly resolve to the core entities, Zion National Park and permit requirements. Now, if your content is strongly linked to those concepts in the knowledge graph, those structured data points, it becomes eligible for retrieval for both of those queries. And crucially, for related synthetic queries you might never even think of. That's why entity attribution is so vital. It reveals what the system actually understood, not just what the user happened to type. Building something like an entity query co-occurrence matrix for your topics becomes a really powerful tool. It shows which entities are driving the most retrieval eligibility, effectively mapping the AI's conceptual understanding.
Got it. So the big takeaway there is to anchor your GEO strategy firmly in entity optimization, not just keyword targeting. Aligning with the right knowledge graph nodes makes your content eligible for a much wider range of queries, both the ones people type and the ones the AI invents. It's about building that knowledge web. That feels truly next level. So what's the ultimate goal then? How do we pull all these pieces together, the observed queries, predicted ones, the entities, the fanout map, into a strategy that's coherent and, you know, actually manageable?
The real power comes when you merge all that query and entity attribution into one single unified data set. Every time you see your content cited, you don't just log the user's query. You log any synthetic queries you've inferred, the entities that were resolved, and even the likely retrieval branch it came from. This complete picture is the game changer. Over time, this unified data set becomes essentially your GEO control panel. It clearly shows you which subqueries are having the most impact, which entities are dominating eligibility for your topics, and exactly where your content is winning citations versus where it's missing out. This map gives you unprecedented clarity. And that control panel then directly feeds your content planning. When you're creating something new, you cross-check it against this live map. Does it cover the high-influence entities we identified? Does it align with the specific subqueries that keep driving citations? Are we using internal links effectively to reinforce those entity connections? It ensures every new piece of content is engineered for maximum AI visibility from the start, moving way beyond just traditional keyword planning.
That sounds incredibly thorough, like a truly integrated system. But I have to ask, it also sounds incredibly complex to manage by hand. How do we scale this? How do we do this beyond just a handful of core queries?
You're right. Manual analysis is crucial for understanding the mechanics initially, but automation is absolutely key to making this a living, breathing system. You can develop a kind of crawler agent hybrid system to automate this whole workflow. It would pull your target seed queries, automatically run the controlled variations and the predicted expansions we talked about. Then it would need to screenshot and parse the AI overviews that appear. From there, it extracts the citation URLs and the relevant text passages. Then it runs entity extraction on both the queries used and the content cited. And finally, it stores all this rich, interconnected data in something like a graph database. Neo4j is a good example, which is perfect for mapping these complex relationships and doing deep analysis. Imagine running this system daily, or maybe weekly. You'd see shifts in the fanout patterns and entity dominance almost in real time. This continuous feedback gives you invaluable, almost predictive insights into what the AI is prioritizing at any given moment. That's how you genuinely future-proof your GEO program. Because while the specific subqueries will definitely evolve as AI models get smarter,
the fundamental need to continuously map them isn't going away.
Okay, looking ahead then, what's next for this whole landscape? Where are fan-out and entities heading as AI continues its rapid evolution?
Well, we're already seeing signs that generative search systems are moving towards what's called multi-hop reasoning. This means they're essentially chaining together multiple retrieval steps, where the later steps actually depend on the outputs from the earlier ones. It's less like one question leading to one answer, and more like human thinking. Okay, to answer A, first I need to figure out B, then C, then connect that to D, and then synthesize it all.
Hmm.
So fanout won't just be a flat set of related subqueries anymore. It's likely going to become more like a layered graph, where some of the nodes are actually intermediate reasoning steps the AI took, and entities. They will almost certainly be the conceptual glue holding all those layers together.
Multi-hop reasoning. Wow,
yeah.
That sounds like the rabbit hole just got significantly deeper. So for those of us trying to optimize, what are the implications when the AI starts thinking in these complex multi-step ways?
For GEO, it definitely raises the stakes significantly. You'll need to ensure your content covers not just the primary entities directly related to a user's query, but also the secondary, maybe even tertiary entities that these multi-hop reasoning steps will connect to along the way. Your content will need to be the authoritative source for those conceptual stepping stones, not just the final destination answer. And our predictive simulations, they'll need to evolve too to model these potential hops, these chains of reasoning, not just single step query expansions.
That is definitely a lot to consider as we look to the future, really mind-bending stuff. So thinking about everything we've covered today, what's the single biggest takeaway you want our listener to walk away with?
I think the most crucial thing is this. The strategic foundation for generative engine optimization is undergoing a fundamental shift. We have to move away from static, keyword-centric thinking towards a much more dynamic, systems-level view of how AI actually retrieves, ranks, and ultimately cites content. That fan-out tree, it's not some unknowable mystery. Not once you learn how to observe its shadows, reconstruct its branches, and start to predict its growth. And maybe a final thought to leave you with. By merging these query maps and entity maps into a living attribution model, and crucially, automating its upkeep, you take what feels like an unpredictable, probabilistic environment and turn it into something you can actually measure, influence, and ultimately shape. This capability, it isn't just some small tactical edge. It's becoming the absolute strategic foundation for any GEO program that wants to stay effective, let alone thrive, as these retrieval models continue their relentless evolution.
That was an incredibly illuminating deep dive. We've really journeyed into the, well, often invisible world of AI search attribution today, explored that hidden dance, learned how to shed some light on it, and even started thinking about how to predict its next steps. I really hope this gives you some powerful ideas on how these insights can transform your own approach to content strategy and visibility online. Because ultimately, gaining knowledge quickly and thoroughly is about connecting these dots, understanding the systems underneath. And that's exactly what we try to do here. Thanks so much for joining us for this deep dive. We'll see you on the next one.